The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Football fans, you won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Welcome in, everyone, to another episode of the Bastards of Boston Baseball. The magic number as it stands right now is down to two. Red Sox beat the Blue Jays 7-1 behind a dominant Garrett Crochet performance, and we'll see what happens with the Houston Astros later on. The magic number, by the time you listen to this, could be down to one. I'm your host. I'm Jason. I'm here with Doug and Chris. Guys, pretty much exactly what the doctor ordered. You have your ace on the mound. He goes out there, pitches like an ace. You give him seven runs of support. Not that he really needed it, but Red Sox are doing their job. And so far on the scoreboard, everything's falling their way. How do you guys feel?
I feel excited. I feel that these are the games that should get you excited. Your ace absolutely shoves. Your lineup shows up. Our team looked good. Our team looked really good today and tonight. And, you know, I feel really good about closing out this season right now.
Yeah, it's extremely exciting, and it's somewhat unexpected, but yet very expected, because this team has been so hit or miss. And they, again, I've been saying it the whole season, they win games you don't expect them to win, which I did not expect them to come into Toronto and dominate the series. I mean, outside of like the first three innings of yesterday's game, this has been like, I mean, they've pretty much dominated it. But obviously, we still have a big game tomorrow and another big series coming up, because the Tigers are going to need that series more than we ever thought.
Yeah, 100% true. I mean, you're doing the business you need to do now, right? You're beating up on Toronto, which we kind of looked at this series like this might be the hardest one, you know, of the final, you know, two, because Toronto's been really good all year. They've been on top of their division all year. And I think it kind of snuck up on us that the Yankees have been really hot in September, and they've been on Toronto's tail for a while here. And now all of a sudden they're tied for the division, assuming New York takes care of business in the next few minutes, which it looks like they will. So Toronto has kind of been sneaky pulling at Detroit. Like, they've been letting their division lead slip away. So now you've got two desperate teams here in the final, well, now final four, right? One more against Toronto and three against what's going to be a very desperate Detroit team. So I think it's good that the Red Sox are racking up these wins, because, yeah, you're going to be facing two teams with their backs up against the wall here in the final four, and you're sitting pretty good in the second wild card spot, and the magic number is two. By the time, you know, everyone goes to bed tonight, magic number might be down to one if, you know, Houston can't beat Oakland. So you got to feel pretty good about that. I mean, just the fact that you're not letting things slip away the way that these division leaders are, it's kind of remarkable, actually, because we've come on here and complained a lot about the way this team has played in September. I would not want to be a Tigers or a Blue Jays fan right now, in retrospect.
No, absolutely not. I mean, these collapses must be miserable to watch. You know, you can't feel good about either team, you know, either one of these teams making the playoffs right now. I feel good about tomorrow. The way the Blue Jays look right now, the way our lineup has looked these last two games, the way their lineup has looked these last two games, even with Bieber on the mound tomorrow for them, I feel good going into tomorrow. I actually feel good about a sweep tomorrow.
I mean, a sweep would be amazing. The interesting thing about these two teams, including our Red Sox, is both teams went into this series missing their best hitter. Bo Bichette has been by far the best hitter for the Toronto Blue Jays this season. And obviously, Roman Anthony, for the two-thirds of the season that he spent here, has been our best hitter. The difference is when you remove Anthony from our lineup and Bo Bichette from their lineup, they still have Springer, they still have Vladdy, they still have a higher level of competency across their lineup. And to see us kind of turn it on and for them to just look completely lost at the plate in a lot of moments, I mean, it's been good, encouraging for us. It would suck to be a Blue Jays fan, I could tell you that. I mean, more than likely, them and the Yankees will be tied. They will virtually have the tiebreaker going into tomorrow. And ironically, both of them are going to face the two opponents in our division that are pretty much already out of it. Yankees are going to finish up the season against the Orioles, and the Blue Jays, I believe, are finishing up against the Rays. And that's not good for the Blue Jays because the Rays are more likely to steal some games in the last three than the Orioles are. So it's going to be an interesting finish, but, and it's more importantly, it's going to be very interesting for the Red Sox. To your point, Doug, if we get that sweep and it looks like it's a strong possibility, we could go into tomorrow night celebrating a postseason berth for the first time in 4 years.
It's pretty remarkable too, the contributions you got, you know, not just yesterday, you know, Giolito had to battle it out. And we talked about how Masataki Yoshida is kind of waking up here, and he was awesome again tonight. I mean, had another, you know, RBI double, hit a home run there. Trevor Story with three hits, Romy with a couple hits, Narvaez, another big double. So, you know, you're not just leaning on Bregman every single night. You're not just leaning on Duran. It's other guys in this lineup are starting to step up. And it's a shame it happened this late, but this is what you were hoping would happen when Anthony went down, is that, okay, Anthony's down, let's get Yoshida some more at-bats. Hopefully he can provide a spark. He didn't for the longest time. But I said on the show last night, if we get a red-hot Masataki Yoshida for the final stretch here going into October and he carries that in, I'm fine with that because you're going to need hits like that going forward, you know, especially now that it looks like you will be playing playoff baseball. You know, I don't want to jinx it, but it's going to take a lot for that not to happen. So if he's starting to get hot, if Romy's starting to figure it out again, if Narvaez is waking up, that only leaves the door open for Bregman and Duran to really start to get going. And then this offense is going to cruise.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it looks like at this time, we might be playing the Blue Jays again. You know, because I as of now, it looks like the Yankees are going to take this division. The Blue Jays, you know, they're one of those teams that it has nothing to do with really who's on their team. But all year, I feel like people kind of just go, all right, well, let's see what they can do in the playoffs just because they're the Blue Jays. And, you know, it's proven again. You know, they're over the last few years, they've had really talented players, and they just haven't been able to really figure out how to win when they need to win.
This Blue Jays team reminds me a lot of the Buck Showalter Mets. And it's not just because you have Scherzer obviously on this team as well, and he was on the Mets at that time with Verlander, but it just seems like a collection of a bunch of talented players, some that are over the hill and obviously way on the back nine, probably like the last of the back nine of their career. And then some guys that just, you know, they have gaudy stats on the back of their baseball card, you know, throughout their career. But when it comes to closing out a season, closing out a division race, they just don't get the job done. And that's, you know, I hate to say it, the Blue Jays have kind of been paper tigers for almost a half a decade now. You know, they feast on really bad teams, and it's unfortunate because that's been us. We've been one of those bad teams they feasted on because we haven't been very good. But when it comes down to like facing the Yankees and taking them down, they just haven't been able to do it. They haven't been able to take down the Astros and the big boys in the AL. It's crazy how, I mean, we've literally gone from, it's a foregone conclusion, we're playing the Yankees, oh my God, we're not making the playoffs. Holy crap, we're going to be in Toronto. And there's no player right now that would be happier than if we went to Toronto for the wild card than Masataka Yoshida.
Definitely.
Because, I mean, he looks like Aaron Judge all of a sudden now, the way he's swinging the bat in Toronto. So breath of fresh air for that. And there's another good point that Jules actually made as far as with Garrett Crochet. And it's interesting because when you look at Garrett Crochet, his last couple starts, especially with like the home runs, in those games where he's given up a couple of runs, a couple of bombs, he's had like 8, 9, 10, 11 strikeouts. Today he only had 6, and he threw 100 pitches, but 69 of them for strikes, 69% strikes. But he was, you know, his pitch count wasn't going up. I mean, if you really needed him to, he could have went 9 today. So it's interesting. It's a little bit of a change of pace for him. So I'm wondering what you guys are thinking about that. Like, would you rather see him punch out 12, or would you rather see him get, you know, soft contact and get through a game?
Give me a start like this any day of the week over the 12, 13 strikeout. I mean, those are fun to watch. And, you know, it certainly helps his Cy Young candidacy because more strikeouts you get, more votes you're going to get. That's just the way it works. But for a team that you root for, that you're hoping to go to the playoffs, I'll take this any day. I mean, 100 pitches, 8 innings, only 3 hits. You know, yeah, he only had the 6 strikeouts. Who cares? Like, he kept runs off the board and he, you know, moved through that lineup like a hot knife through butter. So give me a start like this anytime over the 12, 13 strikeout, but I might give up a bomb here or two in the worst time possible.
Yeah, I'll take the efficient game every time. Just looked good. He just looked great. He wasn't getting deep in the counts. He wasn't falling behind guys, you know, and it's just we were playing good defense for him. You know, it's a big part too.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think, listen, strikeouts are fun. And when you're able to punch out 12 and go deep and shut out a team, like, it's great. I think in a playoff atmosphere, you come out and you're just absolutely striking out guys to start a game. Like, there's nothing more electrifying. It sets the tone. It starts to create doubt for the other team. But, I mean, give me 7-8 innings every freaking game. I don't care how you do it. And if it's not striking people out, it's soft contact, I'll take it, especially with the way things have gone for Crochet. I mean, we know one of our own bastards here, Charlie Smith's been pretty much hammering home that he should be the Cy Young Award winner. And listen, today
I'm with him.
Was a good way to basically, you know, solidify that might be the case, especially with the way that School Bowl has shown up late with the Tigers pretty much hanging on for dear life. So
yeah, I think Crochet went a long way today in potentially securing a Cy Young because School Bowl, he had a bad second half. I mean, he was kind of running away with that award in the first half, but given the way he's pitched, you know, the injury, he had to miss some time, and now you got the Tigers falling out of it. I mean, Garrett Crochet is going to be pitching, hopefully, game one of a playoff series. Tariq Skubal might not be. Like, it's the way the Tigers are going. I mean, they're not safe from falling completely out of it because of just, you know, how few wins they have in the win column. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Crochet does sew up the award. I haven't looked lately to see if anyone's been better than him or Skubal. I know Fried had a good first half with the Yankees, but same thing. He kind of faltered in the second half. So, yeah, he went a long way in securing that because 18 wins, you know, he's got, I think, well over 200 strikeouts. I mean, you know, this was exactly what you signed up for. And you had Jeff Passan the other day saying it was his trade of the year. The Red Sox trading for Garrett Crochet. And I agree. I mean, for a team that needed to, that push to get, you know, not just out of last place, but to get over the hump and really be a contending playoff team, the Red Sox needed an ace. They didn't have one. And they sent 4 prospects. And yeah, it's always tough when you give up prospects. You know, you never know how that's going to pan out. But you got a true ace back. And he pitched like one this year. Did he have a couple blips on the radar here and there? Sure. Every ace is going to have that, though. I mean, unless you're freaking Pedro on steroids, like, you're not, every pitcher is going to have a blip like that. And the 4 prospects, who knows? You know, Mydroth's a nice player. Montgomery, everyone said he was the steal of that draft. He's been off to a slow start over there. Kyle Teal's been off to a little bit of a slow start. He's shown flashes, but not much else. So, you know, at the end of the day, it could end up being very similar to the Chris Sale trade, where, you know, maybe Montgomery is like the Yoan Moncada, where he has a nice big league career, but is he ever going to come back and really make you regret the trade? Probably not. Is Kyle Teal going to turn into Buster Posey? Not likely. So, I agree with Passon. It's the trade of the year, and I think Crochet, if not sewn it up, at least got himself very close to being the Cy Young favorite.
Yeah, I think he locked that up. And I'm seeing some of these comments, and we've gone 13 minutes now without saying it. The end of that game was absolutely crazy. Getting thrown out at first from right field to end the game, it was hilarious.
Yeah, it was very fitting for the way that the series has gone for Toronto. I think, you know, with Crochet, I do think that there is a media bias against teams like the Yankees and even the Red Sox to a certain degree, but specifically New York, the Boston market, no pun intended. But because I think Scooble was definitely a front runner. I think his second half has definitely hampered him. The only way I could see him still winning it at this point is essentially Scooble might be playing the last game of the season in an old style wild card against the Red Sox, where they need that game and it's a winning in situation. And it's going to be, is it Sunday Night Baseball, that game?
I actually think it is.
Yeah. Because I know like the annoying thing is the Friday game is an Apple TV Plus, which is so stupid. But I think the Sunday night is ESPN. Yeah.
So if it's Sunday night and pretty much everyone's watching that and somehow he shoves and gets him into it, I feel like that could tip him, even though I'm not saying he deserves it. Just considering the bias and the fact that he was the front runner, that could do it. But I mean, at this point, barring that, it should be Crochet at this point.
Definitely. I mean, it's the leads the league in innings and strikeouts and has an ERA under 3.
Yeah. And I would agree with Passon. It's by far the trade of the year because, number one, there was no trade in the offseason that was as big. And to be fair, all the trades that were quote-unquote you thought were going to be big, especially a lot of the ones that the Mariners made, didn't really turn out to be as electrifying and really a tipping point. I know that they may still win the division, but I don't necessarily know if Eugenio Suarez is the reason why they're going to. I just think it's a mixture of the Astros absolutely choking that division away, because there was a point where the Mariners didn't look like they wanted it. It's just the Astros want it less at this point. And I think some of the other big moves that happened at the All-Star break, I mean, none of them compare to the Garrett Crochet trade and the trajectory of our team and how much it changed the moment we traded for him. And I think Kyle Teal is the one that might hurt, but the truth is, I mean, the catcher that we traded for, he's going to have a lot to say with the fact of whether that's going to hurt as much as we think it might have before it.
Yeah, 100%. Quick correction on that Sunday game. It is a 3:00, at least as it stands right now. But that could always be flexed. If Detroit's, you know, if it's, you know, playing for their playoff lives and there's a bunch of different stakes at hand, that could always change. I mean, ESPN could grab a hold of that and say, we want that, especially if Scooball's pitching. Right now, we're slated to have Giolito start that game. So that could be a marquee matchup that ESPN wants. So I wouldn't be surprised that it gets flexed in the slightest, just given the way things are going. Another bit of good news for the Red Sox is we thought, at least on last night's show, that we'd be facing Shane Bieber tomorrow, who's had a pretty good year for Toronto since being traded over there. That is not the case. So oddly enough, old friend Hazel May, who now works for Toronto, she's their reporter over there, tweeted out before the game that they're going to skip Bieber's start tomorrow. They're going to push him to Friday. So right now it stands as TBD. And one of the options that they listed was potentially Jose Berríos, who we saw tonight. So we're probably looking at a bullpen game from Toronto tomorrow, because if they use Berríos tonight, they won't use him tomorrow. So you both miss Bieber and Berríos tomorrow, and you've got Bayo on the mound. And we talked last night about this is a big one for Brian Bayo. He's had a horrid September. He's gone completely backwards. You know, does not look like the pitcher we've seen the last couple of months. So it's all set up for you. You could be at a magic number of 1. You're facing a bullpen in Toronto. Toronto's kind of all out of sorts. They're all out of whack. I mean, you know, you guys mentioned that final play of the night. Like, that is the kind of thing that happens to a team that is spiraling. Like, if you got everything under control and you just lose to a better team, that kind of play doesn't happen. That happens when you're just not with it. You're not ready to go. You're kind of losing grasp on things. Like, this Toronto team is so vulnerable right now. So for Brian Bayo, this is a golden opportunity. Like, this is a golden opportunity to bounce back, get yourself ready for playoff baseball, because at the end of the day, he is their number three starter in a playoff series. It's, you know, it's Crochet, it's Giolito, and then it's Bayo. So he's got to step up big time tomorrow because it's there for the taking.
Yeah, I mean, in just a matter of a few innings, it went from a 3-0 game to a 7-0 game. A bunch of their guys got ejected, and then their guy got thrown out from right field. So they spiraled big time at the end of that game.
You know, I think about how serendipitous it would be for Brian Bayo if he could be the guy, obviously barring we get the help that we need and the Astros somehow lose one of the next two, and he wins that game tomorrow and gets us into the playoffs, right? Because, I mean, think about Bayo's the longest tenured starter as far as from a Sox currently starting on this rotation right now. And when you really think about it, he was kind of the first like prospect that kind of came up before Roman Anthony and Meyer that we were all kind of waiting for. And it wasn't the same amount of hype. I recognize that. But he kind of came up and then we were all thinking like, could this be our next Pedro? You know, that's what everyone was saying. And it obviously didn't play that way. And think about coming into this season, we were like, is this guy a three? Is he a four? Like, I'll settle for him to be a three, but should be a solid three. And the guy pretty much all season long, him and Giolito honestly have split where it's like we would argue or think like who's really the number two? Is it 2A, 2B, whatever, it doesn't matter. And if he can kind of shut the door on this season and get us to the playoffs or at least put us in that position, I think it would do wonders for him, especially going into the playoffs.
Yeah, I think it would solidify him as the number two if he can really, you know, shut the door on this season in a really emphatic way. And against, you know, if they're throwing a bullpen game at us, you know, I would really – it'd be big for the whole team. It'd be big for him. We know how emotional he gets, you know. But if he can really shut the door on this season, you know, if he comes out and has a really good outing, he's had a really good season. You know, he stumbled towards the end here, but – if he can finish it with a really strong finish, a really strong start, then he's had a really good season.
Let me ask you guys this. Let's say Bayo goes out tomorrow and has a start very similar to the one Giolito had on Tuesday, where he only makes it four and a third. He's battling the whole time. He doesn't look great. Let's hope the Red Sox still win, right? Let's say you get the same result. You still win the game, but Bayo doesn't look sharp. He just looks okay, and he looks like he's battling. And let's say you do make the playoffs. We know Crochet gets the ball game number one. Who are you giving the ball to in game two? Is it Giolito or is it Bayo?
I think if it's the same, I'm still probably going Bayo. I think it's also very dependent on how that game breaks down because, you know, even that Giolito start – he was not getting the benefit of some calls in that game. I know we got the benefit of a bad call probably on the third baseline because that ball looked like it was fair that Springer hit, and that kind of changed the dynamic. But earlier in the count of that at bat, he had punched out Springer on a ball on the outside corner that was called ball and did not get the benefit. And it seemed like he was trying to nibble and he wasn't getting it. So I think if Bayo goes out there and he doesn't have the same luck, but he shows the ability to kind of get through it, like Giolito did when we win, I'll feel okay. If he struggles, we're tied, and we kind of just squeak by, but it's not really a matter of him contributing, I might not feel so hot about that.
I think I'll stick with Bayo. It's just – I think it would be tough to take him out of the spot that he's been in all season long, right when the playoffs start. You know, I don't really know how that would – he's kind of an emotional guy, you know. It might affect him. You know, I think you just stick with what's what we've been going with. It hasn't really failed us this season. But they've given us a very good season and out of the rotation. And I think you just, you know, do what got you there and you keep Bayo in the two spot.
Yeah, I think for a while I was Giolito. I was more Giolito because I like the veteran taking the ball in that kind of scenario, especially if Crochet drops game one, which God forbid, we hope he doesn't. But anything can happen in playoff baseball. So in that scenario, especially, I kind of like Giolito's just veteran presence there to sort of, you know, settle things down. Like, okay, I'll get you through it. I'll manage the game, you know, and I'll keep you guys in it and you can win. But Bayo does have the more electric stuff. And seeing that Giolito start on Tuesday, what was alarming is that, like, his velocity is down. He was battling more. He wasn't getting whiffs. You know, he's getting hard contact. He's walking guys. Like, I do wonder if, you know, again, this is his first real healthy season in 2 years. You got to wonder if it's catching up with him a little bit, right? He did pass 140 innings, which there's a reason why that was written into his contract. You got to wonder if just there's a little bit of fatigue there. He is the older guy. He's not that much older than Bale, only by 5 years, but he's been pitching longer. So a lot more mileage on that arm. So I think I may be switching back to Bale. I might be on your guys' side of the street on this one, where for a game two, regardless of what happens in game one, I think you just got to put your strongest foot forward. And Brian Bale, when he's on, is better than Lucas Giolito when he's on. They're both very good, but Bale's more of that number two promising future behind Crochet, whereas Giolito, when he's really on, is he's good, but he just looks more like a really solid middle of the rotation kind of arm. So I think I'm with you guys. I give the ball to Bayo, and I think they'll do the same. I think it's going to be Crochet, Bayo, Giolito, because I think they're going to want that scenario where if they're either, you know, and if it's a three-game series, right? So if they're tied at one, you want a veteran like Giolito in that spot. You don't want to put Brian Bayo in that spot if you're tied. So, and then if you take the series, then you can certainly, you know, Giolito opening the next series is not the worst thing, right? You let him start, you figure it out from there. So either way, they're flexible. They've got options, because I wouldn't hate seeing Connolly early start a playoff game. If they make it to the ALDS and you want to give Crochet just a extra day or two, I'm pretty confident with early going out there for a playoff start. What about you guys?
Yeah, I would.
Yeah, I'm confident. I think another point too on the Bayo thing that you guys, when you both were talking, maybe think about, that's also important we didn't consider, is the long-term viability of this team going forward as a contender. We don't know if Giolito is going to be a part of the picture 2-3 seasons from now. We know Bayo is, and I think because you said, Doug, that he's such an emotional guy, I think for his emotional psyche to really show that confidence, knowing he's going to be a more long-term answer for this rotation, would do wonders for his confidence going forward. Not that I don't care about Giolito's like mindset, but like I know it, at best he's going to be here another year or two, maybe. Bayo's going to be here a lot longer and have to be a part of the core and our success while our window's opening and hopefully stays open for the next, let's say, 3 to 5 years. But yeah, I would be confident in early starting for sure.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think there's anyone else that you would really go to at this point for that fourth spot. It has to be him, I would think, you know. And you know, if maybe you just have Harrison ready those games or something, have a short leash on him if you see something you don't like. But I'd feel confident. I'd feel very confident starting him.
I have a question. I saw a comment that just came through our chat. That I almost laughed out loud here in the middle of our stream. If the Tigers don't make the playoffs, save Detroit will burn. I mean, the truth is Detroit might burn either way. It's a pretty rough city. But it got me thinking, like, and it's not necessarily a Sox topic, but it's relative to the Sox. Because let's face it, going into this series or these last two, we kind of thought, man, the Sox look like they're going to be one of the teams that choke this thing away. And now, I mean, the fortunes have completely flipped. Are you more shocked about the Detroit choke and collapse or the Astros? Because, I mean, they're both choking at the exact same time, and one of them is not going to make the playoffs more than likely.
Go ahead, Doug.
I'd probably be more worried about the Astros. I think the Tigers are going to get that last spot. But then right when I say it, I'm like, I don't know. Because Houston has the A's, you know, these, even though they lost last night, but – you know, I don't think the Tigers are going to do very well against us this weekend. So, I don't know. I don't think I, you know, now that I say it, I don't know if I like the Tigers' chances, you know, coming into this weekend. Because if we take 2 out of 3, that might be it for them.
Well, which one's shocking you, though, more as far as collapse?
Yeah. The Tigers are more shocking. I mean, they had a 15-game lead.
Yeah, I'm with Doug. It's the Tigers. Because I've looked at Houston all year as not – I don't want to say fraudulent because they still have a lot of good players, but once Yordan went down, I sort of thought, okay, so basically your offense is Altuve. And, you know, and Jeremy Peña is a nice player. They got some other nice players there, but their core for the longest time was Altuve, Correa, Yordan, and Tucker. They lost Correa. they had to scramble so desperately that they took Correa back with his awful contract. They were so desperate for offense at the deadline. So, and, you know, Altuve, he hasn't been the same all year because they had to move his position. He's starting to show his age a little bit. I just always thought Houston was ripe for not a collapse, but just a little bit of a step backwards. You know, like Framber's going to be a free agent. He's gone. There's no way he's going back with all the crap going on with him and his catchers. Like, I don't know. I looked at Houston all year and I thought, they'll be lucky if they make the playoffs. Detroit, I mean, as Doug mentioned, they had a 15-game lead at one point. They looked like their division was toast. Like, we all thought Kansas City was going to be a little bit more of a threat this year. They really weren't. They didn't quite, you know, make the noise that everyone thought that they would. Obviously, Minnesota was a complete train wreck. You know, Cleveland, they're hot now, but their first half was terrible. Like, they were selling at the deadline. They sold off a bunch of pieces and then just randomly got hot. So, to me, it's Detroit. Detroit should, there's no excuse for this to be happening. And, you know, at the deadline, were they super active? No, but I don't think they really had to be. They had a good team going in, and they were the team last year that their young guys took a step forward and kind of helped them make that wild card series. Now, they had a quick exit, but you saw last year, it's like, okay, that's the first step. Kind of like the Red Sox this year. Very comparable where, you know, Riley Green turns into, you know, comes into his own and finally becomes the player that they've been waiting for. Spencer Torkelson, who they thought was a bust, has like a monster year and becomes the guy they thought he would be. And then they had a bunch of other young guys that came up and really helped propel them to the playoffs last year. That's kind of how the Red Sox did it, right? Jaron Duran last year was really good. He stepped back a little bit this year, but still very good year. Willie Urbreu, another positive year. Trevor Story has a career resurrection. And then you have Roman Anthony. And I know he's out now, but Roman Anthony's still a big part of why you're here at this moment. He's still a big part of the reason why your magic number is such a low number right now. So Detroit to me is the answer because you had the ace, you had the formula, you have a great manager, and you lose division lead like that. It just, that's awful. So yeah, I feel a little bit bad for Tigers fans because they've been waiting for a long time to be doing this and they might blow it.
In May, when I interviewed for the pod, it was in like a group interview with like four other people. Every single person in the chat picked the Tigers to go to the World Series.
Yeah, I mean,
because it was May, and it was when they were killing everybody. World
Series too on this podcast. I mean, to be honest, yeah, the answer to my question is by far, I think the Tigers. I think, like, I see a lot of people surprised by the Astros. I think if the Rangers would have passed them, missing Nate Eovaldi, that would have made it a little bit more shocking. Because it's funny, like I just posted George White, Cleveland sold at the deadline. They did. So did the Rangers. And for a little bit, they were the two teams challenging the division leaders. The Rangers faded off, which we kind of expected. And it left the team we all kind of expected to challenge, the Mariners, to go out there and eventually take it, even though it didn't really look like they wanted it. But the Tigers, I mean, they were, I mean, head and shoulders, the best team in the MLB for almost the whole season until that hot streak for the Brewers. But even then, they were going toe for toe. And then the last month and a half, it's been a completely different story. And I mean, Cleveland, you know, I think Brad put it on there. Cleveland's doing what the Tigers did last year. The difference, I think, is that Cleveland is going to close us out and finish the job. Whereas the Tigers kind of ran out of gas, but they were really the hottest team from mid the last year all the way up until about two-thirds of this season. So, I mean, it's pretty wild to see. I don't think I've ever seen a team, with the exception of maybe the 2011 Red Sox, do what the Tigers have done, where it's like they're head and shoulders, clearly the best team, at least in their league, and like to not even make the playoffs is just absolutely wild at this point.
Yeah, they had the best record in baseball for weeks on end at one point. Yeah. They were beating the crap out of the Yankees. They were beating the crap out of us. Like, everyone sort of said, wow, that's, yeah, they are the team to beat. So, for them to have a collapse like this is pretty surprising. And yeah, I feel a little bit for Tigers fans because, again, like, that team sucked for so long. And, you know, the young kids are finally coming into their own. There's already, you know, we saw this last offseason about rumors of, you know, where is Skubal going to be traded because he's not going to stay in Detroit. Like, they kind of have their own little mini Paul Skeens thing going on where teams are already bidding to trade for their ace. So a collapse like this does not help. It doesn't help a guy like Skubal want to stick around and say, well, yeah, sure, I'll stay here and, you know, miss the playoffs every 4 out of 5 years. That sounds great. Like, no, he's going to want out. So it's for that reason is even more pressure. And one thing I wanted to bring up quickly is I forgot to mention it earlier, but kind of thinking about Skubal and the contract situation, you guys mentioned Bayo. Like, it's good to know that him and Crochet are pretty much here for the same amount of time. Like, their extensions are pretty much parallel to each other. So assuming you don't have a Rafael Devers situation, you've got your 1-2 going forward. And yeah, I think that lends more credence as to why Bayo should be your number two starter in the playoffs. It's just that should be your formula for the next, you know, 4 to 5 years, which hopefully introduces a lot more playoff berths, which is what we're hoping for in the next 24, 48 hours. So, like I said, we've got, it looks like a bullpen game for Toronto tomorrow. So you got bullpen for them, Bayo on the mound for the Red Sox. I haven't checked the scoreboard lately. I don't know if there's any. Houston Athletics just got started.
Astros and Athletics are 0-0. Seattle's winning 5-0. We just posted against Colorado. So,
Of course they are.
Yeah. Houston's not going to cap it. And then, interesting, in the NL, you got Arizona and Dodgers. Because Arizona's making a push for that last wild card. Them and the Reds might take down the Mets, and it's going to come down to two of them. It's wild stuff.
Yeah. Such a fun time of year. And it's fun when you're in a strong position. You're in a playoff position, and you can just sort of watch the cards fold. Still work to do, though. They got to win tomorrow. Got to keep winning. So, again, Bayo on the mound. Bullpen game for Toronto. How do you guys feel?
I feel good. You know, the vibe just felt like the last two games, like, it just felt like it felt good. Something about it, just the vibes felt high about the team. The lineup showed up, you know, the end of the lineup was getting hits, you know, which has been really hurting us. And, you know, we've been shutting them down, only one run in two games. Oh, no, I mean, they scored at the end of they scored a Toli in the ninth, but, you know, but almost pretty much one run out of two games. And I just like the way our lineup looks right now. And I trust Bayo to finish this out.
Yeah, I feel good with Bayo. I think if Bieber was starting, not that I wouldn't feel good, I would feel differently. The thing that really tips the scales for me, it's not that I don't trust Bayo. It's just that if we would need Bayo to go out there and basically keep it to one or two less runs because our offense is so anemic, I would probably be a little bit more skeptical. But the fact that our offense is kind of broken out and it's a collective effort, you know, and it's not the stars or the quote unquote stars that we have left on this team on the lineup that are getting it done. I mean, Yoshida is carrying this offense. I mean, guys that you just wouldn't expect. So, I mean, if everyone can pitch in and Bayo's even 75% of what he's been this whole season, I feel extremely good. And I feel confident that we could be popping some champagne tomorrow night.
I agree. Love it. Yeah, that's what I'm hoping for. I'm with you guys. I think, you know, Chris made a good point. Like, Bayo doesn't have to be perfect tomorrow. Just be good enough. Just don't puke on your cleats, right? Yep. You know, quality start. Go for that. Three runs or less, six innings. You know, keep the game, you know, keep them in it. I think the Red Sox offense can jump on that bullpen. That Toronto bullpen, talked about it all year, is disastrous. So the fact they're throwing a bullpen game is, I think, them pretty much punting on this series and kind of hoping they can salvage their final three and get back the division. But I don't know. Risky decision. So take advantage of it. Go in tomorrow and get that magic number down to one, or even better, zero, right? Clinch it tomorrow. So
absolutely.
Yep. So be an interesting game tomorrow. Again, that's going to be at 7 o'clock at night. We will be back on after the game, breaking it all down, hopefully popping some bottles with you guys, but we'll see what happens. So enjoy the rest of the baseball tonight. If you're watching the late games, enjoy the rest of your night in general. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Take care.
Go Sox.
At Audi Columbus, luxury meets convenience. Family owned since 1897, we've built our reputation on trust, transparency, and innovation. Browse our selection online and complete your purchase from home. Then simply stop by to pick up your keys.
Drive home a new 2025 Audi Q6 e-tron for $499 for 36 months with $5,295 down.
The next generation shops online. Experience the future with us at AudiColumbus.com. Buyers Auto, driving the next generation of buyers.
See dealer for details. Offer ends 9/30/25.
Hollywood Feed Delivery. 500 squeaky balls for bingo?
Bingo, what did you do?
Oh, and there's more. One XL memory foam dog bed, 75 bully sticks, and a mountain of toys still in the car.
Bingo, did you really order online from Hollywood Feed again?
From tasty treats to tail-wagging toys, get everything your pet loves delivered same day. Check your address and order now at HollywoodFeed.com. Hollywood Feed, more wagging, less waiting.